You're listening to a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada.
Everybody got your coffee? How many coffee drinkers do we have? Okay. How many of you drink your coffee black? How many of you like to put stuff in it? About 50-50. I ran across this recent study. There's a recent study that found people who drink their coffee black are more likely to exhibit psychopathic traits. Just saying.
Here I am.
And people who order a quad shot, non-fat, vanilla soy, extra foam, light whip with caramel drizzle are more likely to be their victims. So I don't know where you come down on that, but one way or the other. Well, it's a joy to be here. And I always love the opportunity to open the Word of God. We're going to be continuing in the series that Pastor Louis began last week called Stand. And he will be, I believe, concluding next Sunday, concluding the series. The Word of God, whenever I come to it, I'm reminded of the scripture that says, the Word of God is alive and quicker than any two-edged sword. It's alive. It wants to do surgery on me. It wants to speak to me in places of my heart that need to be spoken to. And so whenever I come with an anticipation and sometimes trepidation, only because I know that God knows everything, everything about me, as he does you, and that's a good thing. We have nothing to hide from God, and so we can come with great joy. 2 Peter chapter 1, if you have your Bibles with you, you can open to 2 Peter 1. If you don't, some of the scriptures will be on the screen. Otherwise, I'll read some. 2 Peter chapter 1 begins like this. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of God and Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Sometimes we read that, it's kind of like, that's how we see epistles open. Grace and peace to you. And it's like, yeah, salutation. But I want us to stop, just slow down in just a second here. The Holy Spirit is not saying just throwing out that grace and peace because they're nice sounding words. But actually what Peter is writing here, he was saying, may there be an ongoing power of the Spirit. May there be ongoing grace in your lives. And the presence of God, that is his peace in our lives, based on our increasing knowledge and openness to God in Jesus Christ. Listen to that. Grace and peace. Power and peace. And I want you to just turn to somebody near you and just pray for them. Say, I pray for you, grace and peace be unto you. Go ahead, turn and speak grace and peace to someone near you. Speaking about the power and the presence. The power and the presence of God. Again, it's not just a salutation, but it's real stuff. Power and peace. Anybody need peace in your life? Got situations going on? Let the grace and peace of God rule in your hearts by Christ Jesus. Okay, now it gets even better than that. Verse 3 says, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by his glory and virtue, by which we have been given exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. God has provided, what does that say? It says, by his divine power he has given to us all things. Say that with me. All things. So what has he not given to us? Would you say that all things probably covers all things? All things for what? All things that pertain to us being able to live a life of godliness, unto him. God has provided to us everything that we need. Let that settle in a little bit. Sometimes we think, well, I don't have it. You know, I'm okay in some areas, but there's areas, man, I just don't have it. But the Bible says God has given to you everything that you need to live for him. Everything. Which kind of leaves us in a place where it's like no excuses. We can't come to God and say, God, I don't have it. And he'll say, I already gave it to you. All things. Well, what about all things I've given to you? Goes on to say, we have been given exceedingly great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. What was that? Partake of the divine nature. What does that mean? How does that mean? What does that mean to you and me? That God has given us everything, and he's given us exceedingly precious promises that we might partake of the divine nature. Another way to say that is, God has, in Christ, provided us everything that we need to live for him, and that we might live in that fullness, experience that. Now, this experience or participate in the divine nature, to become more and more like Christ, not by simply what we do, but because of what is happening in our lives. Participating in the divine nature means that we get to become more and more like Christ. How's that sound to you? Have you ever thought about it? Participating in the divine nature, that Christ in us, we get to be more and more like Christ as we walk with him. That to me blows my mind, because I know me. And there were times where there was, well, let's, as it says, we were able to overcome, escape the corruption that's in the world that's caused by evil desires. We've escaped that because of what Christ has done for us. And so we can live for him, and that we can participate in the divine nature. We can be like him. In fact, you could turn to that person you prayed for a minute ago and say, you know, you're looking more and more like Jesus every moment. Go ahead. It's true. That's what the Bible says. Partakers of the divine nature. How is that made possible? It's made possible through Christ. It's made possible through the indwelling of Jesus Christ in our lives. It's his life that is increasing. It's our life that is decreasing. Into us may come the very nature of God. Colossians says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ lives within us. This opens up all kinds of possibilities that we overlook at times because we're still looking at ourselves with a sense of failure, because none of us have arrived. We all have areas to grow. We need to continue to grow. But this verses like this give us hope. When Jesus says, I've given you all things, you can become more and more like Christ. He lives within us. That we have escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. This escaping the corruption. Anybody seen any corruption in our world lately? It is all over, busting out all over the place. And the word of God says, we have escaped that. We have escaped unto life in Christ. The corrupt nature continues to try to reach out and grab us and pull us back. Don't let it pull you back. He says, declare, I am in Christ. I'm a new creature, and I'm going to live for him. I've escaped that and all it has to do with. Though there are still ongoing battles, but you're free. You're free to continue to grow in Christ. Okay, we have received all things by his divine power. He's given us great and exceedingly great and precious promises that we can be partakers of the divine nature. Hallelujah. Did you just read that? And it's kind of like, let's just sit back and enjoy what we have in Christ. Amen? I mean, we can. The only problem is, verse 5 says, But also for this very reason, the very reason that we have been given all things in Christ, we've escaped corruption in the world, that we receive the indwelling Christ, that we've escaped corruption, we've received all things for this very reason, giving all diligence. And this is the New King James saying, giving all diligence. What is diligence? How many of you consider yourself diligent? One person. Okay, here we go. We're going for two. Who'll give me a diligent? Diligence means we're earnestness and eagerness in accomplishing. You might say, well, I'm diligent at some things. I'm diligent at some things. But what we're seeing in these scriptures is we've been given all things. We've received Christ. We have all that we need in Him. So let's be diligent in walking with Him. So it's like, are you saved by grace or by works? We're saved by grace. But work out your salvation with the works. That once we have received Christ, He says, I don't want you sitting back and just kicking back. I want you to diligently seek to grow in Christ. How many of you would, I won't ask you that. Have you ever seen the bumper sticker that says, I refuse to give up? I refuse to grow up? It's kind of like, I want to remain a kid forever. I don't want to mature. I don't want to become an adult. And sadly, there's some of the believers that say, I want to just get saved and just stay right here where I am. But Jesus says, no, you've come to me. I have, as we sang this morning, He's got plans for you. And a major part of His plan for each one of us is that we grow up. That we grow up in Him. Has anybody ever said to you, you're acting out, and they say, why don't you grow up? You ever heard those words? What do they make you feel like? Crud. That's really a cut. But when we realize, maybe I'm acting like a kid. Maybe I am. But when God says, look, I want you to mature. I want you to grow up in me, to grow in Christ. So can we agree or at least move in the direction to say, we want to be diligent in growing into maturity in Christ. How many would say that? Okay, we got more than one. That's good. Giving all diligence. J.P. Phillips' translation says, you must do your utmost from your side. In other words, God has done everything. He's given us everything we need. Now we need to do our utmost from our side to be diligent from what we can do to grow in that development. Giving all diligence is making every effort, speaks about our actions and our responsibilities. So there's activity in maturing. There's activity, things that we can do in Christ in our lives that can help us grow. Believers are called to be diligent in the development of the resources that God has given us. He's given us everything. Now, let's develop what God has given us. You know, it's not enough to have all the resources. They have to be developed. When I was thinking about this, I thought, you know, this is like, how many of you have probably seen inside of a really well-equipped gymnasium? You know, you go in the gym and you start looking around and say, wow, look at all this equipment. This gym has everything that I need, right? Everything that I need to be able to work out and develop strength and stamina and all that. And I just walk around the gym and just say, this is great. I like this place. It is top drawer. It is the best. I think I'll get a membership. Can I get a lounger so I can rest from my walking around, seeing how beautiful and how well-equipped this is? Or do I do more once I join the gym? What about all that stuff that's been given? Do we start saying, well, what's this? Oh, it's a elliptical. Well, what do you want to do that for? You get stronger. You get your legs going. And you start exercising, and you discover that, oh, wow, I'm sore. I'm working out. But it doesn't do any good to just belong to a gym. It doesn't do any good if you're not working out to be strengthened. It doesn't do any good to just sit back as a believer and be thankful for your salvation, though that's important. God wants us to grow and mature in Him. One of the groups that Peggy and I work out with on weekly is the coach or the trainer. She'll say, okay, this is Tuesday. This is Taco Tuesday. I say, Taco? That sounds good. Taco Tuesday. She says, no, Taco Tuesday means T-A-C-O. Thighs, ab, or arms, core, and offense. And the offense is boxing gloves and a bag. So Taco Tuesday is not a time to kick back and eat tacos. It's a time to work your major parts of your body, your thighs and arms and core. And if we think in terms of the Taco Tuesday that we would like to eat, we're missing out. Our coach will not let us sit back and say, okay, I'll take two tacos. No, she says, get on it. Start working out. And I think there's time that as Christ has given us all things, He calls us to work out. He calls us to make every effort from our side to grow in the things that He's made available to us. Make every effort. The Message translation says, be diligent. Make every effort. Don't lose a minute in building what you've been given. Don't lose a minute. Diligence is, thank you, Lord, I'm saved. Now let me get after knowing your word. Let me get after knowing you. Let me get after growing in you. That's the Message. The New Living Translation says, make every effort to respond to God's promises. How many of you know what mañana means? You don't have to speak Spanish to know what mañana means. It's kind of like when we're talking about being diligent with time. There's times where I look at a project around the house and I'll say, mañana. Mañana. In fact, I learned a song many years ago. Let's see if I can remember it. It has to do with a broken window. He says, don't worry, it'll quit raining tomorrow. You know, mañana, mañana, mañana is soon enough for me. Anybody know that song besides me? Christopher, can we get that into the rotation? But that can be an attitude where God calls us. He's saying to us, I want you to consistently read the Word of God every day. Okay, I'll start tomorrow, right? We can get that kind of attitude. I'm trying to discipline myself in things where, being retired for a number of years now, two or three or four, there's no really schedule that we have to keep. Well, a few things. And there's projects around the house that I'll look at and say, oh, yeah, that needs to get done. I need to work on that. The joy of getting older is if you don't do it right away, you'll forget about it. Right? So what you got to do is you got to make a list. I mean, this will kill you, but when you see things that need to get done, write them down or put them in your phone. Otherwise, if you're like me, what was that I was going to do? Or you look at it and say, that's a good job for tomorrow. Be careful. Don't let the mañana attitude slip into your maturing walk with the Lord. Mañana doesn't fit into diligence. Being diligent, making every effort to cooperate with God's doing, mañana doesn't fit unless it's, I'm going to do tomorrow what I'm doing today. I'm going to continue. And like I was saying, training myself, now I say, that's a good job for tomorrow. And I feel like the Holy Spirit says, no, it's a good job for right now. Why don't you go do it right now? Oh, okay. Get up and do it, and you feel better about it. And you can begin to start developing patterns that will be helpful as you give all diligence to the things of walking and growing in the Lord. Diligent makes faith fruitful. We have faith. If we're diligent with our faith, it'll bear fruit. So, That's why we stop at verse 5 and say, for this very reason, giving all diligence. And then we get this beautiful list of very specific things that we are to add to our lives. These are the building blocks. These are not just building blocks, but yeah, they're fruitful building blocks that we need to say. These are things that need to be part of what we recognize as patterns of growth in Christ. Okay? Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. These are the building blocks. Having received all that we need to be able to stand in Christ, he's given us everything, right? We established that. Now he's saying, I want you to start building on that. As we stand in Christ, we start to implement these things. Add to your faith, which is the beginning point, virtue. What does virtue mean? It means moral excellence. It means good character. Character isn't just a title. It's a way of life. When we're faithful people and we are, where it says add virtue, that I want to be a man of good character. The things that are about my life, I want to be about good. And so someone says, well, how's your character? What are you asking when you ask someone about their character? There's a comment about character. Well, how do they act? How do they live? And this is saying, add to your faith virtue or good character. Add to your good character knowledge. Knowledge has to do with growing in spiritual truth, experientially. Not just knowing, but the knowing kind of things that we hear and we do. The knowledge is spiritual understanding. When we discover truths in the Word of God, we want to walk in it. We want to understand and live in those things. So add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control. Self-control is the opposite of no control. Self-control, there's an old song that we used to play. It was like on a kid's album. And it was talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And the line was, self-control, it means controlling yourself. And I thought, that's as clear as you can get it. Self-control means controlling yourself. Lack of self-control means you're not controlling yourself. You're letting yourself rule your life. Pastor Louis did a great job on this last week when he was talking about our dogs in terms of how we act too, where you can have a dog that's trained and it can be learning to obey and be a good dog, and then something can happen and man, they're off and chasing the cat or whatever. And similarly, we can be growing in our self-control. Something comes along and we are out of control. And the Holy Spirit is saying to us, look, God has given to us everything that we need. One of the things that we need to add to our virtue and knowledge is self-control. Saying, I need to grow in that. There are areas that you say, I don't have so. We're talking about buying donuts? How many of you love donuts? How many of you can just eat one? Okay, you have self-control. The rest of us may not. When you're exercising self-control, do you talk to yourself? Do you talk to yourself anyway? Okay, it's like this. Okay, today's Donut Sunday. It's not, but if it was. And then you say, okay, donuts. I'm not going to eat any donuts because I'm trying to lose some weight, right? And so I'm not going to have any donuts. And then something inside says, you can just have one. This is Donut Sunday. If you don't participate in the life of the congregation, you're a stick in the mud. Come on, honor what they're trying to do and creating opportunities for fellowship. And there's no better place to fellowship than around a donut table eating donuts, right? Okay, I'll just have one. What's my favorite one? Oh, it's the cake donut with icing on it. Oh, yeah. Let's see if there is one. Oh, there is. Oh, there's a chocolate one, too. Maybe I can just have one of each. No, do you have this conversation, kind of conversation? Or is that just me? If it's just me, just pray for me and send me home. But I think there's probably somebody here that has heard that voice. And it sounds a lot like your voice. The one that wants two donuts. No. No donuts. If you say no donuts and eat no donuts, pray for everybody else. No. If you say no donuts and turn away from donuts and say, not today, you are growing in self-control. It takes effort to do our part. It took God and no effort to give us everything. Well, except for giving his son and Jesus Christ dying on the cross and rising from the dead. Through that provision, we can receive everything. We didn't do anything to receive all things. Right? I'll say that again. We didn't do anything to receive all things. But now he's saying, I want you to do the best from your side. Take what I have given you and let's grow it up. Okay. Part of that is self-control. I accept that. Instead of thinking about how good donuts cost or taste, I'll think about how I want to grow in self-control. Self-control. Add to your self-control perseverance. Abiding. The theme of this series that Pastor Louis is doing is to stand, to persevere in all circumstances. The quality does not surrender to circumstances or trials. It's learning to stand. It can be tough when you, like I asked, how many of you need peace in your life? You're facing something. There's about 95% of us raised our hand and say, there's stuff going on. I need the power and presence of God. In the midst of those things, we can stand because he gives us strength to stand. It's not like, okay, I'm strong. I'm going to stand. No, I come to the Lord and say, Lord, I can't stand in the midst of this, but you can give me strength to stand. You ever heard people say, I don't know how you're going through what you're going through. You know, Peggy and I in our lives, and I'm sure in your lives, there's been stuff that you're going through and you have gone through, and people might say, I don't know how you went through what you went through. And you could say, I don't either. Well, I do. It was God. And you can't drum it up. You can receive it when you need it. That's something about God. I'm the kind of person that if I'm going on a trip, I like to have reservations down the road so we know where we're staying. Peggy's the kind of person that says, oh, let's just go. We'll find a place. And with God, sometimes we say, God, he says, get up and go. And we say, where are we going? He says, I'll tell you later. You know, God tells us when we need to know. He gives us strength when we need it. When you think, I can't go through this, let God be your strength in the midst of it. He will give you what you need when you need it. And you can trust that. Now, if you're thinking that I have to know in advance, go talk to Abraham and talk to many that God called and said, where are we going? I'll tell you later. Just get going. Walk with God, trust him, and you'll find out what you need to know when you need to know it. You'll get the strength when you need it. I can promise. Add to your perseverance godliness. This is a Godward attitude, desiring to please him. Godliness, it's not like I'm going to put on my godliness shirt, but that people who are walking in what God has given to us, doing the very best to make every effort to be diligent in working out and implementing these areas in our life, there's going to be a change in you. Physical change in terms of, it's amazing to see how people's countenance changes when they come to walk with the Lord. It's like, you've seen some, there was a guy, where was it? I went to a store yesterday, and when I walked in, the guy that was the cashier, I thought, whoa, this guy is living in darkness. You can just tell the countenance, the sense of the spiritual dynamic of what's going on, and was like, oh, this guy's, he needs Jesus. And it was very obvious. The people that you run into, and they're like, you look at them and you say, okay, we had a plumbing emergency last week. Our septic backed up. The guy we called to come pump our septic tank is a wonderful guy. And he comes and he starts, and when he's been there before, and so I know Wesley. So I went out and talking to Wesley. And I said, Wesley, he said, you're probably not glad to see me. And I said, Wesley, I'm always glad to see you because your face just lights up my life. He said, what do you mean? I said, you just got a really good spirit about you. And so we talked, and he was saying, you know, digging these things out, man, my back hurts so bad. You know what happened the other day? I said, oh, God, my back hurts so bad. And God said to me, pray for it. And so I said, okay, God, I'm going to pray for my back. And he said, I put my own hand on my back, and he said, God, take the pain out of my back. And he did it. And his face lit up, and I say, hallelujah. See how God helps you out when you were having a pain in your back, and you're helping me out because you're, I won't go into the details of what he said.
That stinks.
Yeah, thank you. You're welcome. Godliness, your countenance will change. People say, why do you glow? Why do you look like you have peace in your life? You look different. What do you have? Maybe they don't use those words, but people who are walking with Jesus, growing in him, is going to show. Let it show. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. Let it show. Be happy. You have reason to be happy. Even if you're going through crud, you have reason to be happy because Jesus is with you through it. And I can be happy in that. I can trust him. Add to your godliness brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness is love of the brethren. Loving people that are your brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't think it's a stretch to ask you to turn to that. Maybe another person, just look at them and say, I love you in Christ. Go ahead, tell somebody you love them. See, you're working on it already. You're doing your, making an effort. Now, sometimes it's not too easy to love other people, other believers. What do you do when you run into people that you have trouble loving? Forget it. Write them off, right? Mark them and avoid them. No. Pray. It's turned into a bumper sticker or a phrase. It says something like, be kind to people because you don't know the battle they're going through. And I experienced that years ago before I saw the bumper sticker. We were going through just a hellish situation, and I was in my car, and I wasn't paying attention. I was sitting at a red light. The light turned green, and I didn't even see it. Didn't even notice. Person behind me, and I went, oh man, I'm sorry. And he goes by me, and he's, and I'm going, man, you don't know what I'm going through, and you don't care. You just want to be on your way. And then I thought about myself. The next time I was just about to hit the horn on a similar situation. And, oh, God. Isn't it amazing how quickly God can bring things to your remembrance you can remember? Do you see yourself? Oh, stop. Oh, God, forgive me. Grow in brotherly kindness. And finally, in love. This, obviously, agape. The kind of love that God has. Unconditional, benevolent love. Oh, God, only through Christ and indwelling in us can that happen. Hallelujah. That's quite a list, isn't it? Okay, doing our utmost from our side. Here's a list that we can pursue and see fruitfulness happen. We can be fruitful. All right. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If these things are yours and abound, if these things are yours and they continued to grow and be fruitful. It's not like, okay, I got self-control, got it. Okay, I got brotherly love, got it. No. If these things are yours and abound. In other words, maturity is a growing process. Bad news for some, but I think we're all probably very aware, you will never make it, you'll never get done. When you're done growing is when you get to go be with Jesus. And don't look at that and say, oh man, you mean I'm never going to get done? No, the journey is the process. The process, the journey is what God's working in us. We're becoming more like Him. Don't disdain the process. Don't disdain the journey. It's not about getting there. It's not about the destination. It's the process. If these things are yours and abound or increase, you won't be barren, you won't be unfruitful, ineffective, complacent, or unproductive. Here's the promises. If we're growing, we're growing. And God says these things are good. He who lacks these things is short-sighted, even blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. We can grow spiritually blind. We won't spend a lot of time on it, but simply to say, if we're not growing with Christ, we can just camp on our old experience. Don't do that. Keep growing. Therefore, verse 10, brethren, be more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. And for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior. If you do these things, you will never stumble. You'll never stumble. The promises are God will keep us. Do these things. Continue to grow in Him. Verses 10 and 11 from the Message says, so friends, confirm God's invitation to you, His choice of you. Don't put it off. Do it now. Do this and your life will be on firm footing. The streets paved with the way wide open into the eternal kingdom of our Master. Solid place to stand is in what God has given to us and the commitment to grow in Him. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Bow your heads if you would. Simply bow our heads to bow before the Lord and say, Lord, as we've looked at these verses, we pray that you make them ours. Help us understand and have spiritual insight to how we can implement the Word of God in our lives. And let us be people who are glad recipients of all that you have provided us and diligent servants to do all that we can to see these things come into fruitfulness in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Blessing. I'm going to speak blessings to you as Pastor Louis does. In fact, he wrote me an email and he says, please don't forget to bless the congregation. And I thought, he loves you. This is what we do at the end of the service. Here's a blessing from the Bible. But he is one that wants to express his love and blessing to you as we go out these doors into our lives. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you might overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Ah, let that be true of us, Lord. And may Jesus bless you and keep you. May Jesus make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May Jesus turn His face toward you and give you peace. Amen. God bless you. Love one another. Press on and grow. There's going to be some folks right back here to pray if anyone would like to be prayed for right after service. Otherwise, God bless you. Dismissed.
This has been a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada. You can reach us via email at web@hillside4.org. That's web@hillside4.org.